random topics loosely followed. Welcome to the Perpetually Untitled Podcast. Well, hello, Carla.
Hey. Hi, Matt.
We have been once again sitting here.
We're on the struggle bus.
The tech issues abound lately. First of all, I went to turn my furnace off so that way you could record. And the furnace is already off because it's not working right now. I suspect it's the filter. For whatever reason, this...
Yeah, that happened to you before.
Yeah, for whatever reason, this furnace... It has a big filter that's supposed to last for many months, and I have to replace it like 3 or 4 times more often. And the furnace, if it's even like a little bit dirty, just stops running, which is a concern when you're spending swaths of time away from home, right?
Out of state, yeah. Now, you had, up until very recently, 3 pets in the house. You're down to 1 pet. But have you had your ductwork cleaned? Like, there's a lot of scammy duct cleaners, but, like, HVAC companies will do that.
I have never had the ducts cleaned. No, that's probably not a bad idea. Like,
if the filters are experiencing really rapid failure, that might be something to try. I have no idea how expensive a reputable company would be.
Like, we've recorded remotely a couple times, and every time it just seems to be this whole challenge. So this is our second...
We have to reconfigure everything every time. So. I want it to, like, the platonic ideal I think that I have is some sort of software that lets you save a series of settings, like, as a profile, and then that's like your Florida profile, and then you'll have
and the
Ohio
software
profile,
lets me do that,
and I
and I have done that.
Yeah,
but for some reason it loses. So I've got the what's called the DAW, digital audio workstation. That's what does the recording. And then the magic software I have that lets us do all of the recording voicemails and so I can get your audio and all of that is this software called Loopback. But, like, they just lose their 2 mappings to each other every single time. So I have to go back through every time and say, okay, channel 1 is Carla's audio and channel 2 is the soundboard and channel 3 is the voicemail. I'll get it figured out. I mean, this is the second time recording using this kind of variation of our remote setup. So anyway. Well, hello, Carla.
It feels like more than that.
And as you can see, as you know, we're back in Ohio for the time.
You're back in the wintry north.
I'm not sure why. I mean, I know why. Like, we chose to come here for holiday fun time with friends and family. The weather is quite a trade-off. It's been pretty frigid.
Yeah, it wasn't super bad early in the week, but it's, like, I think high of 29 today, so... To be fair, I was just like running from the car to the post office or running from the car to inside the store. Did not wear a coat. I'm like, I have a t-shirt and a sweatshirt.
Well, so when we left Florida, we got on the airplane and it was like 71 degrees, like walking in the door in Florida. And then a few hours later, when we were walking out the door in Cleveland, I think it was 17. It's a big difference. And all I had on me was a hoodie because I don't want to pack a heavy coat to Florida.
Was this the trip back where you got the crazy karaoke lift driver?
It is. So I'll tell this. I mean, it's a dumb story, but I'll tell the story anyway.
No, it's funny.
So it's like 17 degrees. Dana's giving me, she's like, you should have packed a heavy coat. I'm like, it's like 20 feet from the door of the airport to like the Uber, right? Like, I'm fine with just a hoodie.
Yeah.
I'm not packing a big heavy coat to take to Florida to cover that 20 feet, right? Because that's the only time I need it, where she did pack a big heavy coat that took like half the suitcase.
I mean, Dana
is
a freeze baby.
So you have to order a special Uber when you have a dog. And of course, Peanut was with us. And it took 3 orders of the Uber to actually get somebody to show up. Well, the first guy just canceled. Oh. And then the second guy shows up, but like we're at arrivals.
Because you just arrived.
And so I put on the app, you know, when you say pick me up at air, you know, it says what door and departures or arrivals. So I pick we're at door number 4.
Yeah.
Arrivals. The guy clearly goes to departures. He's like, I'm here and I'm texting him through the app saying, you're probably at departures. We're at arrivals. Are you coming down here or do you want us to walk upstairs? No response. And then finally get a message back. the police are telling me to leave. And then like he like drops and the app goes through like its third iteration of trying to find somebody. Finally find somebody. Brian and a Tesla Model Y will be here momentarily.
Oh, you already like him because you're a Tesla guy.
I'm really pretty neutral to that. It doesn't matter to me what the person's driving as long as it doesn't smell terrible. So I could see this car coming from like 10 miles away because this thing is lit up like a literal Christmas tree. I don't know if you ever saw, I think it was on Comedy Central. There used to be a show called Cash Cab. Maybe it's still around.
There's Cash Cab. There's Carpool Karaoke. There's a couple.
Yeah. This guy's had his lighting all decked out like Cash Cab, like colorful lights around. And in fact, you could choose to play a trivia game as part of your ride if you wanted to. Or to play Carpool Karaoke if you wanted to.
So he had like screens set up in like, the back.
He had like a monitor behind every seat. So there's like three monitors. He had a YouTube channel. So he had like his YouTube name plastered in the top with like a lit up placard. He had like every crevice of the car had like LED party lighting on it, like doing these different color patterns.
This is his full-time gig.
And his license plate was 5 stars. And he did literally, with thousands of reviews, he had a perfect 5-star rating on Uber, which is pretty unheard of.
Wow. You got a unicorn the there. Like, you'll never...
Yeah. Well, he gave me his business card because he was like, if you need rides from the airport, feel free to, like, let me in know in advance, and I can actually schedule in advance.
Yeah.
And he has a YouTube channel. You can opt in to being part of that. First thing I want to get in the car, and I see this YouTube logo. I'm like, wait, are we like being recorded or are we like being live streamed or something like that?
Right.
But he has a big sign that says like, you are not participating in the YouTube channel unless you agree to. And then he also does like a taxi cab confessions kind of a thing. And this person was talking about like the embarrassing time she went potty in front of her boyfriend with like accidentally.
And oh my gosh.
Why would somebody agree to be on like some random
Uber driver's YouTube
channel with that confession?
I see like Ubers are in very specific scenarios. Airport drop-off pickup.
Drunkies.
Event drop-off pickup. Like it's too crowded. You don't want to pay for parking or whatever. And then, yeah, drunks. So
he said he drives 12 to 14 hours a day. His Model Y is 2 years old, and he's got about 180,000 miles on it.
Whoa.
And he said he's had zero problems whatsoever with the car. He said he changes his tires out every 6 months. But he said the car itself has been great. Anyway, yeah, that was that was an interesting ride. Anyway, we have a few voicemails.
Yay!
Let's listen to them.
Matt and Carla, the topic of children. It's something that eluded me for a while. But now that I have a daughter, I have a chip and a chair at the game. And boy, am I made of opinions, which I will now share now. Being the old dad sucks. You know, Carla mentioned during the podcast having a child in his 30s. Well, having it in your early 40s has to be exponentially worse because everything starts, like, seizing up. Everything starts hurting then. This child with, like, you know, factory warranted parts and cartilage and metabolism and energy. It's like a Terminator, relentless, will not stop, no pity, no remorse. Play with me.
I'm pausing for just a second because I want to note that Carla is giving that like that face of that face
nodding.
Of that kind of.
There is no snooze button on a child.
Yeah. Carla's giving a definitive nod of acknowledgement and understanding. Yeah.
Agree. Yes.
You just want to go to bed at 9, but it's still awesome. And I've had to learn over the course of this year that I am now engaged in a battle of potty mouth daddy versus sponge girl. And I have to really be careful of how I say things now. I have to find other words to use, kind of like in Battlestar Galactica when they use the word frack. I now try to use the word plorp. It's P-L-O-R-P, plorp. It's just, you can use it for anything. Childless restaurants are awesome because kids in restaurants suck. I know. I have one. They crawl all around. They want to come. I don't want that. Ours is fairly behaved. speaking of travel, this kid has traveled more at 3 than I did at 18. I mean, she's been all across the Eastern Seaboard and up north in Michigan. She's going to go through Canada next year.
Nice.
So it's pretty cool. The danger sense is real. You talk about, you know, putting your hands out because you know they're going to dip into something. And no matter how much you try, you're still going to biff and face plant. It does kind of get funny, though. Recently, when she biffs, she doesn't cry, but she can kind of face down the carpet. It's frustrating. And goes, seriously? And then dusts herself up and gets up, which is kind of cool. But you do develop the danger sense. You know, it's not when they're loud and screaming that worries you. It's when they're quiet and you don't know what they're doing in another room. You're, oh, my God, where'd they go? You kind of develop the force. Mm-hmm. You can kind of point your hand at them and they stop like, ugh! You know, you can kind of Jedi mind trick them a little bit. You know, I don't know how much longer I'm going to have it.
So I think he maxed out the voicemail and then called back. So here's.
I was just thinking to myself, like, this is the friend who always harasses me for how long my stories are.
Maybe fatherhood has changed that as well about him. All right. Here's part two.
Yes. All right.
The voicemail ran out of gas before I did. So yeah, correspondent from the north, page two. But yeah, it's definitely a whole lot of awesome though. So we, you know, in addition to seeing her grow through preschool and all these things she's doing, she's doing yoga. I'm sitting there trying to get the couch going, making these dad noises, and she's like doing like yoga poses. I'm like, I'm dead in 5 years. I'm dead. You're gonna be able to take me out easily. But it's kind of awesome. We have Mrs. Correspondent in the north, and I have a tunnel rat to get low and underneath and behind things. It's awesome. The one leg in the washing machine had to be screwed down a little bit to re-level it. And she's hanging on to this thing like a suction cup Garfield in a window just so I can get underneath it and tighten this leg down. So it's really kind of cool. She really is a good helper. So. I know I complain a lot in these voicemail here, but in all honesty, though, being an older dad sucks, but we got our miracle, and it's actually pretty awesome, even when she's bellowing, screaming, and crashing the house and all. So definitely different, definitely changed my life in a way that I didn't envision coming up to 46 here. But the only thing I don't look forward to is being the old dad at school things. She's like, oh, Scarlett's grandfather's here. I'm like, you know, which I'm kind of already making those noises now. So, back in the day, you always saw the kid about the old parent. And you're like, oh, man, you know. And I'm really trying to fight that off. But, you know, you can't fight time. But I'm going to do my best. So, either way, great episode. I'm full of opinions, and I'm sure you'll hear more in the future. Thanks.
Thank you, correspondent from the north. For me, as a non-parent, the potty mouth thing is hard for me because I have one. Maybe doing the podcast has helped a little bit because I try to be mindful here, but like my sister has the dagger eyes if you drop certain words.
Well, I think I told you the story maybe of kiddo's first swear.
I don't think so.
She was preschool age and Rob commuted with kiddo to daycare because her daycare was on site at his employer. He listens to a variety of music. They're not censored versions, so there are swear words in this music. And neither one of us swear like a ton, but we weren't specifically avoiding around her, and it was never an issue. And then there was one day, Rob got her buckled into the car after daycare. And I think like somebody cut him off in traffic or something, so he had to brake. And out of my sweet little child's mouth popped the N-word.
That's
and it was one of those like, what? I was prepared for the F-bomb. That one I was not prepared for because obviously we don't use that word. And so it was a very delicate conversation with her because she could tell we were not happy, and so we didn't want her to shut down and feel like she couldn't talk. So teasing the information out of her, we found out that another little girl, so for those of you who don't know me in person, I am so pale white, like so white, blonde hair, blue-eyed, my child is my clone. Some other little girl at daycare called my child the N-word, obviously not understanding what it meant. And so it was this really awkward thing. So we explained to kiddo in age-appropriate terms, because she was four at the time, like, this is kind of the history of that word. So probably your friend heard it in a song or in music. I think what we told her is, you know, that word really hurts people's hearts. And so we don't use that word. It makes people feel really bad. But then it was like, well, do I say something to the daycare? Because this is an employer daycare, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we know everybody at this daycare. And this other little girl's parent works in HR. And so it was like, so I talked to the daycare teacher and I was like, obviously the girls have no idea what this word means. I'm sure they picked it up listening to music or something like that. But just so that you can keep your ears out, because apparently it happened on the playground. And yeah, I was not prepared. And that's really been the only issue. Like,
wow. Yeah.
It's possible that I have a really great kid. But that one took me by surprise.
And I have friends that cuss in front of their kids all the time, and the kids understand that that's adult language that we won't. Yeah. You know.
And like I said, like, Rob and I don't cuss a ton. It's usually when we're upset about something.
I can usually keep it filtered when littlings are around, but every once in a while I'll drop one and I'll get the look and then the story
death
of like,
stare from your sister. Yeah.
Uncle Matt said an adult word or something like that, but they use they use the word biscuits. Oh, biscuits. So that's their little it's really cute.
That's really cute.
It is.
See, I was thinking of like the Good Place, you know, Holy Forking Shirt Balls.
We have one more voicemail.
Oh, there's more.
There's more.
Do more. Woohoo.
Hi, it's Molly again. I, first of all, want to say, Matt, it doesn't have to be Star Trek or Stargate. It can be both. They're both incredible, unless we're talking about Enterprise. Penelope knows what I'm talking about. Also, I don't have much to add about children. I, myself, am child-free. I do sometimes babysit kiddo. She's great. But my contribution to this is that the first episode of Stargate SG-1 is titled Children of the Gods. Bye.
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 I'm glad Molly's calling in again.
Yeah.
And we haven't heard from our other correspondent in a while. So since sometimes we put the energy out there and things happen, we'll do that. And first of all, yes. I mean, Star Trek, Star Wars, SG-1, like there's lots of different universes. And I've never met anybody who's staunchly like, this is the universe that is the best and you're sci-fi universe is biscuits, you know, like, oh. I don't think a lot you have. Okay.
The one that I have heard most frequently is that Star Wars is not really sci-fi, that it's fantasy. And people get really like onto that. And I'm just like, I'm really uninterested in engaging with you.
Yeah. I mean, I think I was yawning just hearing you describe it.
Right.
Yeah. No, I love.
Well, and it's funny. I just introduced someone to Babylon 5 at work. I'm like, yeah, you should go through. I'm like, there's a guide online that tells you which episodes you can safely skip because they're no good and they don't matter to the overarching plot. It was a real important point in like the way we tell stories on TV, where instead of a monster of the week, it was the overarching plot. And
yeah. I like them all, but I will say Star Trek's the one I'm just most familiar with, and so that's the one I tend to gravitate to. If I need some comfort food.
TNG,
yeah. If I need some comfort food, it's probably going to be some TNG.
Yeah.
We have been recording for 25 minutes, so
we should pick a topic. Not only 25 minutes, but like the half hour before that of troubleshooting.
I know.
This is my day.
Yeah.
Okay, pick a topic.
All right, here we go.
Boop, boop, beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, boop.
Clowns. No. Okay, this is actually kind of funny for one very specific reason.
That's amazing. What is that very specific reason?
You're not big on clowns.
No, I'm fine with clowns. Adele.
Adele's the one.
Not big on clowns.
I mean, I gravitate towards the clown light switch at the rental.
I mean, that just looked like it came from a haunted house. It wasn't that it was clowns specifically. It was that it was...
It was scary sauce for sure. It was very horrifying.
Aged and dystopian looking. Yeah.
I'm going to veto this. This is a terrible topic.
You're going to veto?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Boop, boop, beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, boop. Meeting people.
Meeting people.
We don't get too...
Kind of a weird topic.
It's kind of a weird topic. We don't get two-word topics very often.
Oh,
I mean, I got no reason to veto. I can't veto. Mine's been used. So it's up to you.
No reason to veto.
Okay.
I could definitely talk about meeting people.
I mean, I don't know how you meet people because you already know everybody. Anytime we've ever gone.
There's more. Oh my gosh. Now that I work at this new employer in a new industry, there are so many new people for me to meet. It's great.
And you're a natural at it.
Because people are interesting. So my personal adage, and I don't know if this is a quote from anything. I'm not aware of me plagiarizing this from anywhere. The only normal people you know are the people you don't know well enough.
It seems like something that you would like have hanging on a little
accessory. I don't like
sign.
Put that anywhere. Yeah, but I mean, if like normal is just a concept, right? Like there is no person that's normal. I know people who are closer to normal than others, but everyone's got their quirks and their individual features.
Well, and everyone's definition of normal is going to be different.
Right. Well, and you remember the TV show Firefly, right?
Of course.
So the character Kaylee, who was the very cheerful mechanic, had a quote that she loves to meet people. They've all got stories. So I like hearing people's stories. Things happen to me that don't happen to other people. So, for instance, I complimented a coworker on her necklace, and it turned out to be a photo of her dead son who was shot by the police.
Oh, Jesus.
And turned into And so it turned into like in the moment, you know, I was trying to be very sensitive to not pry because we're at work. I didn't expect it to be that personal. Right. It was pretty. And so it turned into like a long story. So it gives you a deeper understanding of people to just chat with them. Yeah, I think I've told on this podcast the story of how a telemarketer called me while I was in my internship. Yeah. And we exchanged email addresses because we were talking on the phone so long he was going to get in trouble. So yeah, people are interesting. Like I'm not necessarily best friends with everybody. I don't necessarily click with everybody, but in general, I like people. And I think that's an important prerequisite to meeting people is you genuinely enjoy them. I've had friends like in all sorts of walks of life. And so even though like I've never worked as a waitress, for instance, I feel like I can have some empathy with that. And so when we go out to eat, I'll chat with the wait staff. I don't know. I find it fun and easy to meet people. You have to be kind of unafraid to be rejected. And, you know, so not everybody wants to talk to you, and that's okay.
So you would consider yourself an extrovert?
Yes.
Definitively so.
Yes. Some things I hedge on, that one not so much.
And,
yes.
And I would consider myself an introvert, but that doesn't mean I don't like meeting and interacting with people.
Well, the whole introvert extrovert thing is like how you get your energy, right? Like I am energized by being around people and interacting with people.
And I like being around people and interacting with people, but A, I tend to prefer to do it in smaller groups.
Mm-hmm.
And B, I prefer to do it for like pockets of time, right? Like
because you find it draining?
Yeah. Or? I mean, and I think it depends on their people. Like even my family, like I know and love my family very well, but like at Thanksgiving, after, you know, half a day, I was just like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
But I like hanging out with people. I like my friends. I like meeting new people. You seem the type that could just walk up to somebody and start a conversation. I'm not going to do that. So for me to get to know somebody, that other person almost has to be an extrovert. I'm surprisingly capable of doing it in professional situations because I know there's something about professionally where this is kind of my job. This is what I do.
Well, and you've got a context for meeting that person then too.
Right.
Like either they're a coworker or they're a vendor. There's some sort of shared experience or commonality there.
So kind of an interesting I want to say thought exercise, but like we're spending more time in Florida, right? And we don't know anybody down there outside of my sister and brother-in-law and niece, right? Mm-hmm. So I assume we will want to meet people down there, right? And it's like, where do you start?
So as somebody who has transplanted multiple times, like not like a ton, I'm not like a military kid, you got to join an activity. So I made some of my first friends in the Cleveland area because I joined a knitting group. I'm still friends with some of the core people from that knitting group. We don't get together to knit, but we became friends through that. I ran for a while a comic book discussion professionally for one of my jobs. And somebody who came to that and I became friends. There was a situation where, hey, there's this event, we should carpool. So I met some of his friends. And one of those friends and I hit it off. And so we hung out and he's like, hey, let's go play board games at my other friend's house. And that's Rob. And that's how I met Rob. So joining some sort of activity, like I know for a while you were into photography and you sold off a lot of your equipment and stuff. But in Florida, you might have a photography club.
Yeah, I can go hang out at the airport and find some aviation friends. Although that is a definite interesting breed of individuals we've talked about before.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's how I met, you know, Jim, who's been on the podcast and his listeners through aviation. Yeah, you're right. A lot of the people that I know I've met through activities outside of like the group of people that I met through. I mean, you came via
through people.
Yeah, you came via my wife.
Yes.
Although we do have, we've talked about before, we have some other indirect connections from like our college days as well.
Right. And we've lived in the rough vicinity for a long time. So that's natural. I know that there exists in Cleveland, maybe there's one down where you are in Florida, like a supper club that will meet where it's at, not a restaurant, but like a venue, and they almost like cater it, but it has a theme. And, you know, it's just different oddball type events like that. So there used to be a site, and I don't know if it exists anymore, called meetup.com. And that's where I found my knitting group. I would say like look for a Facebook group, but Facebook is almost unusable anymore. So
well, and I've seen like I follow the Cleveland subreddit and I occasionally will see like, hey, Reddit. A lot of people move to Cleveland from other places, like a surprising number of people. And I often see like, I'm new here. This is what I'm into. You know, where are my people at? And then like, should come to this event.
Yep.
So that's an option. Obviously, we've been spending a fair amount of time with my family down there, but they have lives with people other than me. Right.
And so
I definitely don't want to like consume too much of their time, nor do I want to like. So we need to find some people down there.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, obviously, we're both very well into relationships, so the dating scene is way behind us.
Thankfully.
And it sounds like it would be, I mean, I have heard I always end up having younger coworkers, and they'll talk about, like, the dating scene, and it sounds so, so different now. I mean, like, I met Dana online, and so, like, but it was far less common to do that.
I, even back in the day, was no good at online. You've seen those maps, or I guess not a map, it's an infographic where over time, the column chart will change and like different things overtake each other.
Yeah.
So there was one about how people meet their romantic partners.
Yeah. And online, within the past 10, 15 years, the line just went.
Like, it was really once Tinder came out, it just went and just ate everything. Like, people used to meet people through church. My brother and his wife met through church. I call it mutual friends. My husband.
And that's one thing I'm thinking, like, you meet when you're looking for like a romantic relationship. How is that different than meeting, like wanting to meet somebody just to, you know, I don't know, go play golf or something
so
like that.
So that was why I was so terrible at the online dating, because I just wanted to get to know the person. Mm-hmm. And these guys had obviously read some sort of like the art of the pickup or something. It's like, no, we can't get to know each other too well ahead of time, or it kills the chance for chemistry. I knew my husband for, let's see, we met in May and we had our first date in December. So we had been friends more than a half a year before we ever even went out. Like, I don't know if
and
that's
so,
a, and it's not,
and
it
so
wasn't
you went
always
into
the case.
Dating already knowing the person versus going in kind of
right.
cold, which I think is
I already typical. Know this person isn't an axe murderer. And I'm not going to wake up in a bathtub full of ice, you know? And that's the thing. Like, I genuinely enjoy meeting people. I like to think that I keep an open mind. Like, I don't meet somebody with a preconceived notion like, oh, this person is going to be a romantic partner, or this person is going to give me a leg up networking professionally or whatever. It's just, I'm going to meet this person. They're an interesting person. I'm going to kind of like see what the shape of their personality and their interests is and make decisions based on that. So I don't know. Like, I am very grateful that I don't have to try to meet people like as a romantic partner type of thing, because it sounds exhausting.
Well, we have a mutual friend who has been playing the dating thing for a while, and hearing some of the horror stories, it's like selling something on Marketplace. Like 100 messages are going to be, you know, but eventually you'll find the one person who wants to buy your item. It just sometimes takes a lot longer.
Like, I
can't imagine the marketplace of dating, right? Like, if I had to filter out that many people.
I think that if something, you know, alternate timeline or whatever, and I found myself having a date, I don't think I could do it online. I am not good at it.
I actually kind of enjoyed dating online, like getting to know people online, because I could get a vibe from the person before you meet in person. I mean, I never ended up in, you know, a bed of ice with organs missing either. But I had some very strange dates that have that are just good stories to tell. And I think I've actually told some of them on the podcast, so I won't go rehash them.
Well, so like, I have a friend who runs his own almost like a little mini social media. It's a Discord server. There's somewhere between 100 and 120 people. We all know him. We don't necessarily all know each other. And so I've gotten to know some of these people over the, you know, the long time that I've been in this group. It's been a couple of years now at this stage. I know about myself that I am reading tone into what they're saying. That is what I am imagining and is not necessarily what they are intending. And so I like these people online, but I don't ever forget that, like, if we were to meet in person, so-and-so might rub me the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a friend who I think the world of, but I can never share a meal with because I have the misophonia and I can't stand, you know, people chewing loudly and things like that. And he's a loud chewer and he talks with food in his mouth. And it makes me so crazy, even though he's great and I like him. So, yeah. And so that's the kind of thing you don't know if you're only interacting through an online medium.
Well,
they call it the ick. Yeah. I might get the ick.
Yeah. So we were getting on the airplane in Tampa just like last 2 weeks ago when we're coming back here. And it's a plane to Cleveland. And so like a bunch of people
are from,
like,
Cleveland.
From Cleveland heading home, right? And so there's like a husband, wife, and then some other woman in front of us. And they're talking. And they're from one lives in Cleveland and was just visiting. The other one grew up in Cleveland and lives here and is going back to Cleveland. So there's talk about Cleveland and I'm kind of about ready to kind of jump into the conversation, right? And they talk about the topic of the Guardians renaming from the Indians comes up, right?
Mm.
And this woman's like,
hot button issue.
Oh, and this woman's like, I can't even say the G word, you know, like
the G word,
right? And she's like, you know what? Nobody's offended by it. Call it, you know, call it what it used to be called. Nobody's getting offended over this. And I don't know. I'm just like, see, I was about to try to have a conversation with this person. And, you know, then I'm just like, okay, now I'm glad that I did not. Not that I mean, I'm not personally offended by either name. I also don't personally care that they rebranded. If they're the Guardians or the Guardians, that's fine to me.
I mean, I'm more offended that the Browns are terrible.
Are terrible football team.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that I would necessarily rule out trying to talk with that person, but I would definitely not want to talk about that topic because that's a weird one to me.
It went downhill from there.
Gotcha. My perspective on that one, like, somebody has told you that that name hurts their feelings and your response was, no, it doesn't. Like, that just seems weird.
Yeah, I know. And why, of all the things, because she went on for like 2 minutes about this, right?
Yeah.
That's what you choose to get.
Like, I can definitely understand having nostalgia built up around a sports team. I did not grow up in a city that had any professional sports team. So, and my family did not follow sports. So I don't have that particular bit of nostalgia.
And it is a bit of,
but I can get it.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that's the case. My mom is also, she still calls them by their original name, but she's not like fired up about it like this. Right.
Gotcha.
But her, some of her fondest memories are watching baseball with her father. Right. And so she does wrap a lot of that kind of nostalgia around it. I don't have skin like in the game. I don't really feel,
Yeah. So like I said, I don't know if I would not, like, I don't know if I would avoid trying to meet a person like
if
that.
If you change,
but I don't want to engage in that.
Yeah. If you change your name and said, my name is Groot now, I would call you Groot, you know, like whatever.
Well, that's a whole thing too with people who are trans is, you know, people refuse to call them by their new names. It's like, if you were just meeting them today, you wouldn't know any different. Why does it matter?
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh yeah. People refusing to call people by their new names.
I might
intentionally.
I might accidentally.
Well, right. And it's,
you know, somebody has a certain name for a long time.
Right.
It's going to take off the brain to reprogram itself. Yeah.
Exactly. Because I am slow. But like I try. And then if it's somebody that I'm meeting for the first time, like how would I even know? I don't get it.
So I
don't know.
I manage a team of 4 people and we're all remote. I've only met one of the 4 people in person ever.
Okay.
The other one of the people I've actually worked with at 2 different companies now and still.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. And I still have not met him in person. So I'm trying to.
I think you guys
have to have
a team meeting. Yeah.
I'm actually actively working on setting something up in January. I have a new manager now and the new manager is a little more receptive to like cutting a check to do that.
Nice.
But, you know, on the topic of meeting people, it is interesting in an all remote situation where these are people I work with every day. I see multiple times a week. I talk to you all day, every day. And I've only met one of them in person and only like twice, like briefly, basically.
Gotcha. So. The people that I chat with the most at work and tell like the most personal stuff to, you know, none of them are on my team. I would not have any reason to interact with them. But because I don't have a ton of office decorations, but I have, it's a cartoon of Spider-Man and Deadpool, like a cute little interaction. And then I have our employee resource group logos for the women's group and for the pride group that I put up. And I definitely know, like I had already been kind of friendly with the one person, but they started coming over and chatting with me more. It kind of signaled, I guess, like some of my affiliations, some of my interests. These are the topics that are safe to talk about with me or that I'm receptive to. And so having that physical interaction, I think, has led to more people interacting with me. Also, I get a lot of calls from administrative assistants to come help them on their computer. And I just go down to their desks and then they're so grateful. Oh, my gosh.
You've met, like, would you say, you mentioned that you met somebody when they marketed to you as a telemarketer and you exchanged.
Yeah, we exchanged emails.
Is that the strangest way you've met somebody that you've kept in contact with? Or are there
strangest? I mean, I don't still keep in contact with that guy. He sent me his picture and he was, he obviously like, dude, bro, he thought that this was going to be something that it was not shaping up to be. The strangest way I've met somebody? I don't know. I mean, what way is not strange? I met someone online a bajillion years ago, and we exchanged phone numbers and we chatted. And then he happened to swing by a coffee shop that I hung out at all the time while I was there, but I didn't go anywhere. And then he's a coworker now. And we have never discussed that.
I think
obviously we both remember, but it's fine. Like nobody was a jerk or anything like that. Nothing ever happened that would make things inappropriate. So it's fine. It's just like, oh, hey, I know you.
I think for me, and this actually isn't really that strange, but it's one that came to mind. In my college days, I was a member of like a online forum for the type of car that I drove. And it's like a nation. I mean, it's like people all over the nation driving this car, right? But one of the more active participants in this forum, you remember forums today would show like your location, like under the, you'd have like your avatar and then like the number of posts you've made. And then like, you know, you could put a little blurb where you're at. And this person, you know, said basically the city I was in. And so I was like, hey, I know this is kind of random, but we both drive the same kind of car. We're both active in this group. Do you want to meet up? And he's like, you know, the Arby's on, I forget what street it was on. He's like, I got nothing going on today. Let's meet up. And so I had meeting up at this Arby's. And like for like 4 hours, we sat there for hours in an Arby's and ended up becoming friends after that. That's many years ago. I am no longer in touch with that person. But that's probably one of the more interesting ways that I've met somebody. I am kind of running out of meeting people topics to talk about.
Yeah.
I don't feel like we've done this topic a good service.
Well, like, what is your advice for meeting people? Like, do you think it's better in person? It's better online? Should you meet through a friend?
Well, that's a good question. So I'm trying to think of like people that I or we have met somewhat recently. And we do have some friends that we met, I'd say within the past 2 years or so, that we've gotten somewhat close with. I remember one of the first times we hung out with them, I was like, I remember distinctly steering the conversation away from politics. And I have since found that like these friends, I believe, are probably different thinking than we are in that regards. And I think now that I know them otherwise, I think it has made it easier to kind of continue to have that friendship without
you're seeing them as a three-dimensional person.
Yeah.
And not the stereotype of that person who believes that thing.
Yeah. Well, because I mean, I know people who are, if you believe this, then obviously you are too far away from my beliefs to, I mean, I have friends like that, right? And I try not to be like that because there's certainly a lot of middle ground. And I think a lot of us are more in that middle ground than we are on an extreme of either side.
Yeah. I don't want to get too political, but yeah, I want to respect the fact that like, hey, if you're uncomfortable interacting with a person who holds these beliefs, that is 100%, you know, your call. You are the only person who can know what you're comfortable with. It doesn't personally offend me. That's a great place for me, the extroverted person who loves meeting people and chatting with people, to be in, because I know that I've had conversations with people who have different beliefs than I do. And because I have taken great pains to not live in a bubble and not live in an echo chamber, I can try to introduce alternate points of view. And they're willing to listen to that from me because I haven't called them whatever pejorative name and I haven't told them that they're a terrible person because of their beliefs. So yeah, I think we are more polarized. It does make it harder to meet people who maybe don't check certain boxes.
Yep. For sure. And I guess my advice would be save the hot topic conversations for after you've started to get to know somebody, because then you will both have some other shared things to kind of anchor upon.
Right. If ever. I mean, there are some people I don't talk politics with. I know where I stand. I know where they stand. Yep. We are not anywhere close to each other. It will just aggravate us both to talk about that thing. We will talk about something else.
It is nice to have friends that have different beliefs than you, that you can have a structured and intelligent, not overly heated conversation with.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I don't think that's something that happens too often, and I value the friends that I have in my circle that I can do that with.
Yeah. Well, it used to be very stereotypically, you never talked money, religion, or politics. Wasn't that it? And now I feel like that's all we talk about.
Yeah.
That's all we talk about now. So
do you think when you're meeting people, is money kind of a taboo topic?
It depends. I mean, like, oh, hey, I got this great deal on such and such. That's fine. We're Midwesterners. We need ourselves a good deal, right?
I mean, like, I've had people just straight up ask me how much I make, and I'll tell them, like, it doesn't bother me, but I guess that is still
Yeah. Well, and I've had coworkers like our age kind of like, ooh, don't talk about it. I'm like, you realize, like,
it's protected
federally
now.
Where it's protected. Yeah. You can absolutely talk about it. And that's what helps
and
give
even
us
like,
pay equity for women.
My company
talked about it.
My company is currently going through the process of making the information public because if people are going to talk about it anyway,
yeah,
and they are allowed to talk about it, it might as well be something that, you know, is just kind of out there.
Yeah.
So
that's been
and
the
if you're
case
a public employee,
for a long time.
You
yeah.
say as a public employee, you, like you could just
yep.
look it right up.
Yep.
All right. I think I'm out of topics. Any other final thoughts, Carla? You say you have no final thoughts, and then you have one. So,
well, just I enjoy meeting people, and I encourage folks to, you know, look up from their phones or smile at a stranger or whatever. You know, it doesn't have to be anything really complicated. I remember going out a couple years ago now for like a Christmas dinner. I was on Christmas at a local restaurant with Rob and our parents, you know, his parents, my parents-in-law, and kiddo was real, real little. And I got into a conversation with the hostess and we chatted for a while. And I remember my mom doing the same thing because Rob that came to me later, like, how did you know her? I'm like, oh, we just met. I don't remember this person's name. You know, it doesn't just because you're meeting someone doesn't mean that you have to attach a huge significance to it. But you can just be a bright spot in somebody's day. Like, oh, this person saw me as a person worth talking to and interacting with. Part of that, you do have to kind of read, like, are they busy? Are they trying to focus? Don't bug them. But
yeah.
You know, meet people, just let it happen. Let it be organic.
And I think if you're looking for an in, one thing, I mean, like I said, I'm an introvert, but I will compliment somebody on like an accessory they're wearing or
yeah.
something like that. Like that's
just be careful that it's not a necklace of their dead son. All right. Are we ready to wrap up, you think?
Yeah. Let's call it.
Okay.
I have been Matt.
And I have been Carla.
And we will talk to you soon.